Welcome to the Gateway Podcast, where we get a chance to sit and talk to the outstanding professionals who serve in the 37 Training Wing. I get the privilege to host this podcast and serve as Warhawk Nation's Command Chief. So, without further delay, let's jump into it. As a reminder to all listeners, all topics discussed are unclassified, and the views expressed by our guests and hosts are not necessarily the position of the United States Air Force, the Department of Defense, or any government agency. Welcome to the Warhawk Podcast. I have a very special podcast again for you. We have the Inter-American Air Forces Academy instructors. We have three of them that get a chance to go to the Caribbean, Central America, South America, great food, all these amazing things, all these amazing TDYs. They get to immerse themselves in cultures in which they came from, which they serve in, a little bit of Americana in there, and they get to go and interact with students from across these regions and showing them how we do business in the United States Air Force and how they do business from whatever country in which they represent. And not only that, they do so in the biggest weakness that I have in my arsenal, Espanol. They're smiling at me right now because every single one of them know. So here's some truth lending, Warhawk Nation. I don't speak Spanish. Mm-hmm. All right. And so with that, I'm gonna allow these military professionals to introduce themselves.
My name is Sergeant Raymond Carrasquillo. I've been in IAFA for 3 years now. I love it. I enjoy every minute of it. I had a great opportunity of working with not only other members from IAFA, but also with international students. And it's a great experience. I'm having a good time.
Which original AFSC? Which original career?
My original AFSC is maintenance.
Uh-oh, maintainers out there. What kind of maintenance?
I was a C-130 engines.
Okay.
And I got force cross trained into CV-22 crew chief.
You got force cross trained to be a crew chief,
and
God's chosen
with
people.
An assignment to cannon. And now I'm here.
You're teaching.
I wanted to use all that experience somehow, and opportunity for IAFA presented, and so here I am.
So they have an engine course, and you have a crew chief course there, right?
Yes, sir.
So which one are you teaching?
I'm not a teacher. I am actually a developer.
Oh.
I'm a curriculum developer. I work with all the courses. Right now, I'm assigned to the 837, which is one of our squadrons. We have an 318, which is the maintenance squadron, and the 837.
So you're developing that stuff,
I develop the courses. Yes, sir.
Where are you originally from?
I'm originally from Puerto Rico.
What part? Whole island. This is one of my pet. Yeah, I hear a lot of laughs. It's a pet peeve of mine. When I say, where are you from? They're like, California. And like the whole state, you dominated the entire, like, well, I say there's a lot of mad people in Puerto Rico right now. Cause like, he's like, oh, he's from Puerto Rico. He's the entire Puerto Rico.
Whole island.
What part?
I'm from a little city down southeast. It's called Humacao.
Okay.
I still have my mom and my sister out there, but my older siblings, they're spread out throughout the world. I have a sister in Korea.
Okay.
I have a brother and a sister in Florida, and I'm here.
Korea? What part of Korea?
She's in South Korea, Fort Humphreys.
I'd hope
she's a teacher.
You said Fort Humphreys. It's called Camp Humphreys. You've never been to Korea before?
I'm sorry.
I just came from there. I was like, so all the army people you just offended right now.
I'm so sorry.
No, that's awesome. I'm just messing with you. All right, teammate, where are you from? And go ahead and introduce yourself.
All right, so I am Master Sergeant Maria Clordy. I'm originally from Barranquilla, Colombia. Make sure I say the city. I moved to the States in 2001. And I joined the Air Force 2008. So I've been in almost 17 years. Originally supply.
Soup.
RS, yep. Damn right.
Yep.
Soup. So that is my background, logistics. But I had the opportunity, one of my deployments was to Sorocano Air Base in Honduras. Yeah. And even though I was doing nothing with kind of like partner nations or translating, the first sergeant there, he was Army. And he was like, mija, I'm tired of traveling. You want to go to Costa Rica? I'm like, yes.
Of course I do.
Do you want to go to El Salvador and translate for this humanitarian I guess it was like medical and stuff. So you just translated for the people that were like triaging the patients. And after that, I always had something that kind of just woke up in me. Like, this is something I could potentially pursue, use my language just to do something bigger than supply. No offense to supply, but I knew this was something I wanted. Yeah. Something with Spanish and utilizing that for not just the Air Force, but like expand my knowledge. I work at PME right now. So we have the PME course. I absolutely love being an instructor. I love, love, love getting international students. You mentioned also traveling. Our main mission is here in-house, but we do get to do some of the missions where we teach them PME. And it's honestly an honor, like both for them to come here. And then when they welcome us, you know, different countries and allied nations, we absolutely love our job. Like, we have a really good team. It's really exciting. Never a dull moment. Each cycle of students is completely different, and I'm always learning from them. So it's pretty cool.
Have you gotten a chance to go back and teach in Colombia?
So the MTT, which is a mobile training team that I did last year, was in Colombia.
Where?
Bogota.
I was there too.
Really?
I was there.
Yep, Bogota. Yeah. And it was actually really emotional for me because the graduation, they had the national anthem and then the Colombian national anthem, and the students started singing, and I'm just like, what a full circle moment. Like, I made this. This is crazy.
Did you have family come out there and see it by chance?
They were in Barranquilla, and we're kind of stuck to Bogota.
I tell you, I'm 27 and a half years, and my family has never seen, never really been a part of it because I've always been stationed so far from home.
Same.
Yeah.
Same. So that would have been awesome. Amazing. But no, I mean, they're still celebrating from a distance, but they weren't there to see it, but I could feel their presence. Let's put it that way. And I ate really good.
Yeah. Okay. So that's another, you know, we're going to get to some food questions here in a second, but let's jump into that one right there. Because when we were there, I've been to Colombia probably about four or five times in my career, maybe. I don't know. But we went last year for Cyber Wings, went over there and did some international engagements out there for security cooperation.
The cyber, Interflight. Yep.
That was awesome.
I bet.
Absolutely awesome. And we were there for about a week, and I don't think I ate a bad dish, a dish where I was like, no, I'll never have that again. Every single one, I was like, I'm probably going to gain about 20 pounds if I'm here.
That's fine. Worth it. Yeah. Everybody was asking, what do you miss about the food? Like, I'm like, no, nothing. I'm eating everything in Colombia. So
what's your go-to dish? If you had one dish, you had
it's from Barranquilla. They do sell it in Bogota. It's called chuzo desgranado. It's kind of like a steak, and it has corn in there, and it has just a bunch of like weird sauce and little French fries. I don't know. It sounds really weird.
Sounds delicious to me.
But it's really good. So that'll be my go-to. Chuzo. Mm-hmm.
Awesome. All right, teammate. The last person to introduce themselves. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I'm Staff Sergeant Armando Rios. I'm originally from Seattle, Washington.
Whoa.
Yeah. So I...
Don't say you're from Seattle. You're from like some you're from Puyallup or something.
It's like 15 minutes south of Seattle.
I know it.
A place called Kent, but I mean, everybody knows Seattle, so that's what I usually
say. You're from Kent. Just say you're from Kent, my friend.
From Kent. And then I got stationed to Moody Air Force Base, and I was originally a crew chief on C-130s. So we did HC-130s. We did rescue over there. So that was my whole background. And then from there, I came here. So I've been here since May, about 8 months. And I'm a fixed wing aircraft maintainer instructor. So I've been definitely enjoying it. It's a completely different experience than I ever thought I would be doing. Just thinking a few months back, I was, you know, fixing planes and making them fly. And now I'm here. It's just a completely different world, but it's amazing. It's a great opportunity. I definitely love it.
Great learning. So I would say that north of south, but like, can you expand about some of the things that you've learned that you would have thought you would not have thought of prior to becoming an IF instructor or an IF curriculum developer or whatever you do, you're doing for IAFA? What is one of the big things that I'm like, whoa, I had no idea I would learn that?
I guess for me, it'd be the security cooperation side of things. Like first coming in, when I first applied, I knew that was a mission, but I thought it was more about just strictly the education side of things, but definitely a completely different side of things and being able to see like what it all entails and what the outcome can be of just like the security cooperation side, working with these different countries and becoming better and stronger partners with them. And, you know, having them, you know, realize that there's a different side to us here in the United States than, you know, first, for example, first some of the students that I've had, they've came here with an idea of what, you know, American or U.S. military personnel are like, and then they end up leaving with a completely different and definitely more positive view of things. So that's definitely great to see.
Do they think that we all have like Tom Cruise and we have aviators on and
100%
great hair gel and
yeah,
all some the of things?
Them leave with that's that idea still.
For sure. Really?
But yeah, it's great.
You know, I forgot to ask you, and we're coming. We're gonna run it back to my friend who claims the entire island of Puerto Rico. What's Kent known for? What's your favorite dish? What do you eat out there?
Oh man, Kent is it's a melting pot. I think
it is.
Yeah, it was like one of the most. I think we had one of the most diverse high schools in all the country at one point. I think, or one of course. So it was you have everything out there. I grew up with everything, and then when I moved down to South Georgia, it was definitely a culture shock because there's nothing out there.
So if you went back to Kent right now, I'm getting ready to fly out to Luce McCord. I was stationed out there for about almost 5 years. I met my beautiful wife out there. Mm-hmm. You know, my whole family's, part of her family's out there from Snohomish, Seattle area, mm-hmm. In the actual city, Seattle. I lived in Seattle. Okay, fun nice. Fact. What would you go eat right now if you went back to Kent, Washington? I'll give you Seattle, the whole Pacific Northwest. Go ahead.
Oh man. One of my go-to places when I go back home is this Mexican restaurant. It's funny. I can't remember the name of it right now. I'm about to blow it, but it's a really great spot. Like it's not like your regular Tex-Mex like Mexican food. It's like a very homey Mexican style food place, and I always get the Chipotle burrito plate. So it's mm-hmm. like a plate smothered in or a burrito on a plate with like this Chipotle sauce on top of it.
Like a wet burrito.
Yeah, exactly, a wet burrito. Yeah, and it's really great.
Okay. So let's put some mist aside right now. You ready? Me and you, we're going to put them away. So Tex-Mex, and no offense, because right now our producer is looking at their, you know, born and raised in San Antonio. He's not. He's a Californian too. But no offense to the Tex-Mex out here. I'm sure a lot of people were going to say something else. They weren't expecting you to say Mexican food. If you had to grade Washington Mexican food versus all the places you've been, where does it rack and stack?
Oh man, I think second place.
Ooh, where's your first place?
California. California has some
great. You're welcome, America. Yeah. You're welcome, Warhawk Nation.
Like any place you go to in California, it's a 10 out of 10.
Okay. Yes. I agree. Next question. Go. Now we're going to run over to the person who claims from all of Puerto Rico. What's your go-to dish? And where are you going to go eat?
Here in San Antonio.
Oh, see, you bring the crowd back in. There it is.
So here's a funny fun fact, right? So most of my career, I spent it between Arizona, New Mexico, and here. So I grew up loving Mexican food. And I'm sorry, but the most authentic,
he's blushing.
The most authentic Mexican food I have tried, it's in New Mexico. Believe it or not.
The home of the chili pepper, okay.
Yes. And I've done a couple of trips to Mexico and it's the closest out of everything. And I have tried California, I have tried Arizona, I have tried here in San Antonio, but it's definitely New Mexico.
Okay.
And it's my favorite.
So we don't lose our Puerto Rican audience out there. What is the
Puerto Rican?
Yeah, you better come back on Puerto Rico now because you're about to be disowned.
So my favorite Puerto Rican dish is definitely mofongo con carne frita.
Okay.
Mofongo.
My wife's favorite.
It's cool. A plantain and it's like mash and you put some like oil and garlic on it. And you put some pork skin on it. And then carne frita, it's fried pork meat. And it's 100% my favorite dish with something we call mayo ketchup. It's mayo and ketchup mixed together. You just call it mayo.
Say it one time slow.
Mayo ketchup.
It sounds so much more like what do the kids say, demure. When you say it that like that. So what is the big thing that you guys learned about security cooperation? So you brought it up. When you go out there at IAFA, I every time I walk into the building, it's like a history and lineage, and you can see all these amazing diverse students out there, you know, from all these other different nations. How does that tie into security cooperation from your guys' vantage point? I'll start with the PME instructor.
Sure. So aside from the students that we have, I think a lot of the in my personal experience, the security cooperation that I did not expect to, I guess, receive was from the partner nation instructors. So we actually have instructors from other countries, and the amount of knowledge that they bring, the way that they just, their brain works, like it's really incredible. So just that part, like we're a team of instructors, we're all PME, but just seeing how they do things differently, how they learn from us, we learn from them. So I think that part was really interesting because it I guess made me grow as an instructor, not just like Maria Fana, we speak Spanish and teach. It's actually that knowledge, like supervisory toolbox kind of stuff. So I do love that. And then of course, just providing those tools to our students. So we teach PME, but our methodology is a little bit more, besides ALS, of course, but when we teach like senior and COA, for example, or the officers, they teach ESOC, which is a version of SOS. It's more like we provide the tools, we facilitate, but the students basically teach each other, and just seeing like the way that they start and the way, like when they're graduating, seeing that growth in them, that knowledge, knowing that they are going to bring these things back to their military, is just a really rewarding experience. So I think that's probably one of my favorite parts when they say, this is definitely something that I could see teaching my subordinates. This is definitely something I could bring up to my commander. So just knowing that it's not just a class, they sit here, take notes, make some presentations and go on with their day. They are actually bringing stuff, like some of that knowledge back with them. And then they reach out to us sometimes, like, thank you so much for this. Yeah. Or that essay that we wrote that we were complaining about, because here's another essay. It's actually for their growth and it's stuff that they can implement. So I think that part is extremely rewarding for us, seeing that they are utilizing these tools and actually bringing it back to their militaries.
But you, what have you learned about security cooperation?
I learned a lot about security cooperation. I didn't know how big it is and how impactful it is. Understanding that it's not only us, right? This is the whole Department of Defense, right? I have the pleasure to work with the Army, with WINSEC, Army South, going translation. As a translator or interpreter, and seeing how we have to communicate a certain way with them, understanding their culture, understanding who they are as a country, it's very important on how we deliver our messages, right? And all that, understanding also how those countries communicate with each other. It's very important for us, especially, you know, being here, that we have students from 10 different countries in one specific place, right? In one classroom. They're all closed out in there, right? And some of them are enlisted, some of them are officer. And you're not only an instructor, right? And I'm not an instructor, but as a developer, I have to sit down on the classroom from time to time to see how the course is going, and seeing that dynamic of how one country, they talk to other countries, and how you as an instructor, you know, you develop that communication between them. So it's not only between us and the student, but it's also between students and students.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Country. You know, so it is security cooperation. I see it on a way where, like, how can we strengthen, you know, us and those countries, but how can we make those countries, right, that communication strength between them, right?
Yeah.
And it is good, you know, like, to be in that scenario, right? And that's one of the things that I love about IAFA, right? That we have that opportunity, we have that chance of, like, seeing this big picture that as a maintainer you don't see.
Because I've been in a lot of different these countries, and yeah, but not on that level that it's mm-hmm. every single day that you're seeing that. So what are some of the countries that we have partner nations that you interact with, of our partner nation instructors? Because you brought it up, so I'll let you answer the question first.
So the instructors for PME, we have we have more than two officers. We have four officers, one from El Salvador, We have one, well, he's USAF, but he speaks Spanish. And then we have one from Brazil, perfect Spanish, which is pretty interesting. I'm like, Brazilian, great.
I did not know that. I saw surprised. Brazilian instructors. I was like, we teach classes in Portuguese?
Yeah, I was like, I didn't know we had but definitely they speak Spanish. And it's really interesting to see. And then our other officer, he's from Ecuador. And then we have a master sergeant from Brazil as well, and another master sergeant from Colombia. So a pretty, pretty diverse team of instructors. And then the other ones are Air Force instructors.
Okay. Do you have any instructors?
Yes, we do. So over at the 318th, that's the squadron that I work for. We have one from Brazil, one from Mexico, one from Dominican Republic, and I believe one from Ecuador as well. Mm-hmm. I think he's new. Yep. So he's out there teaching as well. So it's pretty cool to see how they interact as well with the students. Like they're saying, it's completely different than how we do it. So we definitely learning from them as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Awesome. What about you? Anybody in the development side of the house?
So on the development side of the house, we have a few civilians and enlisted, but we don't have any international that comes here and help. But within the office, we do have people from Mexico, Puerto Rico, Peru. So it's also diverse.
That's it just every time I walk through there, I walk through the hangars, I walk to the PME centers, I go upstairs, I interrupt classes. It's awesome to see. Did everybody start out in the LEAP program?
No. Even a LEAP.
Yeah.
Not LEAP.
I'm not on LEAP.
Wow.
I applied.
we do have members that are part of mm-hmm. LEAP. Mm-hmm.
But you go out there and do translations nonetheless.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
So that's a different thing. Because before I started, one of my very first TDYs, and yes, I don't have an accent. So it was a Paraguay-Uruguay trip that we went out there and did some refueling on. I thought that was pretty cool. And we brought a LEAP interpreter. I was like, I didn't even know it was a thing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you're like, yeah.
Oh. It's definitely a goal of a lot of us that are here in IAFA. There's not a lot of us, at least I didn't really know too much about LEAP, but now I'm starting to find out what it is, and you know, it's a cool opportunity as well.
What is something that the students see when you engage with them? So I'd be remiss if I don't ask a sports team question. So you say, what is your sport? What sports are you into if you're into sports at all?
Oh man, I'm not really into sports.
Not into sports. What about you?
Same. I mean, I watch football.
Okay. What kind of football?
Not soccer. Not football.
Well, see, So
growing up, yes, definitely a lot of soccer, Colombian national team, all that stuff. But no, once I moved here, I never really was into football. And my husband was like, perfect, you're going to be a Patriots fan now. And I'm like, okay, because he's from Massachusetts.
So. Ooh.
Hey, it is what it is. So I'm not like a huge fanatic, but I don't mind watching some football. Hockey is probably my favorite though.
Oh,
like seeing it live.
Yeah. Hockey live is probably one of the funnest sports.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
I actually thoroughly enjoy hockey, but that's kind of it really. A little bit MMA here and there.
All right. Mm-hmm. All right.
I am a big American football fan. Believe it or not, I'm a Saints fan.
You like punishment, huh?
I do.
Me too.
I do. I became a fan of New Orleans in 2009. And that was the year that we won the Super Bowl.
Okay.
And I was excited. I was like, yeah, this is the team. Well, still waiting for another year.
Well, at least you got to see. I'm going to realize you can see in the office. So I'm glad this thing's not a visual because you see all the Raider gear up here. I'm used to you just losing. So I've never had as an adult, I've never seen my team. Man, I've only seen them go in the playoffs a couple times, but I've never seen them, win a Super Bowl. I've seen them go to a Super Bowl and go destroyed, unfortunately, by a Florida team. But that's it. What about the students? And I want to talk about those type of things, like when it comes to stereotypes. Is football a big thing? Do you guys have, do they come in here and like that national kind of rivalry as well? And they like, they get the students all hyped up and animated. Is there a big, especially with the national teams?
100%.
Really? 100%. Everyone's not. I wish everybody can zoom in and see their head. I see a lot of North South. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, it's true. So I think this last cycle, which was our C cycle there, it was the Latin American Cup.
Latin America.
And they were following it pretty closely. Mm-hmm. And you could definitely see it, and you can tell that they had that rivalry, but it never got anything too out of hand.
Of course,
that friendly rivalry, and it was fun to watch for sure.
Mm-hmm. So, what about prospective instructors? What would you say to prospective instructors that wanted to come down here and be that were interested in it? Would you recommend it? And then, what would you tell them?
I will 100% recommend it. We have here, we don't only have instructor positions, right? We also have what we call NYLEMAs. I'm a NYLEMA. So we handle curriculum. We work for the group. But we also have what we call ISO, International Student Operations. Mm-hmm. They are pretty much like the MTLs,
yeah, military training leaders.
Yes, absolutely. Sir. They're pretty much like the MTLs for the international students. And it's a great opportunity. It's something completely different. I felt more like a sense of like belonging. And it's weird because I've been in the military 17 years. But a lot of people...
You do not look like you've been in for 17 years.
Yes, sir. So you get in that, you know, the day-to-day, you get comfortable with what you do and all that stuff. But when you come to IAFA, you realize that there are a lot more, you know, that it is the Air Force. And I believe that it's a great opportunity for whoever wants to come here.
Well, I can only speak on the PME instructor portion. I would definitely recommend, but I would say it's something you want to want. I don't think it's something like, I just want to work at IAFA. I heard they travel and speak Spanish sometimes.
Yeah.
I think you're at least for me, like my heart and soul goes into teaching. They say, obviously, don't get too attached to the students. Each experience is different, but I see it as like... almost like the little baby birds that are being born, and it's just so different at the end. And I've never done something as rewarding as this. Even coming from supply, I did a different job, so I wasn't only doing supply, but this one by far has been the most eye-opening experience that I've had. And if it's something that somebody really wants, they should absolutely do it. I applied a few times. It wasn't a one and done thing. And I just knew I'm going to work there. I am going to work at IAFA. And I finally got that call, like, we're going to interview you. And I was like, oh my God, I have to speak Spanish. Cause you don't, even though like I knew Spanish, I'm like, I don't actually speak in Spanish a lot, but nailed the interview and here I am. But I think it's, like I said, and just talking about it, I'm smiling because that's how much I really enjoy doing it. So if it's something you really, really want and you're going to put your time and effort into it and do it for the right reasons, it is extremely rewarding and I definitely recommend it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, same here. Definitely recommend it. Like both of them said, it's a very eye-opening experience. It's a completely different side of the Air Force that you don't see on the flight line. On the flight line, all you see is the jets. You know, you're working on them, just in and out, working on planes, and you never see the security cooperation side or, you know, any of this side of the Air Force world. And being able to be a part of it, you definitely get to experience and see a lot of things. Like I said, you wouldn't be able to imagine, like working with these international students and interacting with so many different cultures and being a part of something bigger. So it's definitely something that's rewarding as well.
Mm-hmm. So what's out there? What inspires you? So you got the students that are out there, but what do you do to stay fired up every single day? That's a question I like to ask the folks who come in here and do the podcast. What is something that's out there that's inspiring? Is it books? What TV shows? What are you binge watching? What books you're reading? What are quotes, music? What's out there inspiring you as a person, as a professional to kind of maybe when you step away from IAFA to kind of decompress or well-round yourself? What are you guys into? Why is that? How did that get the most silent question?
Like, it sounded like two different questions. I'm sorry.
Hey, you can interpret it the way, any way you want. Okay. There's no wrong answers here.
It sounded like two different. It sounded like you're asking me how do I like to relax?
Yeah, let's do that.
Or what motivates me to
look at that.
To
just
keep pushing forward.
Dissected the question. Inspiring. Let's break it into two then. Number one, and Daniel will fix it. Ready?
Yeah.
Okay, inspiring.
So inspire. Yeah.
And then how do you decompress? Go ahead.
Sorry. So inspiring. Oh, I love it. I definitely say just like I have a lot of goals, right? And I've just seen myself propel forward. And it sounds what is it called? Narcissistic a little bit, but like seeing myself like move forward and doing other things like this to me is a little bit challenging. Like they're saying, or for me at least, it wasn't. I was learning Spanish and English at the same time growing up. My parents are from Mexico, but I didn't grow up speaking professional Spanish. So this is a little bit on the challenging side of things for me, but just seeing myself like improving on my like Spanish test scores and whatnot, like I definitely makes me want to do better. And then, but the whole teaching thing as well, like a completely different side from what I'm normally comfortable with. Cause I'm not very, how do I say it? I don't like to be like the center of attention, and it's crazy because you're in a classroom and you are the center of attention. You know what I mean? So definitely the challenge and seeing myself progress and do better is definitely what motivates me. And then to relax, I got two dogs at home, and I normally just like to sit outside and play fetch with them or just hang out with them and definitely play with them.
What kind of dogs are they?
I got a 55 pound pit bull, American pit terrier.
Okay.
And then a 95 pound chocolate lab.
Okay. I don't have an English Staffordshire bull terrier.
Oh,
I don't.
No, okay.
No, I don't. But it's the light of my life.
Yeah.
So I have 5 kids. I love kids. But as this one right here knows, all the people in the front office know that my dog is like exactly the same. I love going home. Isn't it awesome having a dog that like when you come home, I don't know how your pity is, but like, are you the most special thing that that dog has ever seen in your its entire life? There's nothing like that feeling.
Definitely. Yeah. Both of them. They get the way they wag their tail and they come up to you, and they have a bad habit of like jumping on me.
Oh, I don't let them do that though.
No, yeah. I don't have that dog though.
I need to get them
out of that habit, but they just jump on me and I just, you know, play with them. And then we go out to the back and definitely kill some of the energy because they've been at home most of the time. But yeah, definitely really like my dogs.
That's a decompression. Okay. So the 2-part question, what inspires you and how do you decompress?
So for inspiring, I believe... It sounds silly, but one time I sat back and said, kind of like, well, 13-year-old me would be like, you're so cool. You're so cool. Like, look at you. So I think that part, it's like there's so much more out there. Mm-hmm. So I think that inspired me to be like, I could do these things. I know they talk about like imposter syndrome and all those things. Like, am I really supposed to be here? But I don't know what led to that thought, but just being, like I said, just like Maria, who lived in Barranquilla, would never ever imagine that this is what her future looks like. And I have a 4-year-old son. So also just, you know, the cliche answer, your children, but yeah. Just absolutely being the best example I can for him. Just, I want him to just be proud of me 100%. I'm so proud of him. He's a firecracker. He keeps me on my toes, but it's really inspiring just to know that no matter what day I had, no matter what, like I'm always going to go home and be mom, you know? So that's pretty cool. And I don't know, just seeing him like be like, that's cool what you do, even though he doesn't truly understand it. And one time he came to work, he's like, where's all your students? I'm like, I'm not teaching right now. But he tells his like pre-K teacher, she's a teacher in the military. So little things like that. I think they're really cute, but they make me happy. And yeah, just thinking how like my dad would be really proud of me, just that family kind of feeling that just inspires me to keep doing better, keep going, moving forward. There's more out there and there's a lot more that I can accomplish slowly but surely. So I do like that. I think that whenever I feel like I've had enough or not the best day, I'm like, nope, like get up, you can do it. And then as for decompressing, I do like to work out. I like lifting weights. It's really tiring the older I get, but I do love it. And I do like to read also, ironically, crime.
So you like the podcast and crime?
Podcast, yeah, and me reading. Too. Yes. I love reading a good psychological thriller with some like crazy twists. I'm like, yes. And then I go to bed super relaxed. So I don't know where the science behind this is, but that's what works for me. So that's how I decompress. Gym, me too. And murder books.
So we're going to come back to the book thing. Over to you.
So me... I get inspired by thinking what could be a better version of myself in everything. Work, with my kids. They play a big part. They're pretty old already, so they don't live with me. But it's just the version of them that becomes like that sees how's my dad, right? Like, who's my dad? Like, what has he done? Right. And all that stuff, like, it gets into my head. It made me think, what can be a better version of myself for my kids to see as an example? Right. And sometimes I get to a place where, look, I see the light at the end of the tunnel, but the road is gray. Right. And I try to find, you know, that middle point of where like, okay, I want to do this. I want to do that. How can I get there? How can I be that person to be an example for my kids or even for my troops? Right. And that's the thing that always keeps me with my mind, like, like the gears, like running on, like, how can I be better, right? And to decompress, I don't have a hobby. And it's crazy.
Are you a hobby habitualist, the changing type person? Like me, I have like a million hobbies.
Yes. Like I can be working on my car today. I can be just sitting on the couch watching a new show that came out, or I can just spend some time with my fiance's kid on games. Both of them play soccer. So I can just, you know, spend weekend after weekend just doing that. Or I can decide one day to, I'm going to work out on a Saturday or a Sunday. Right? It's just random.
That comes to my mind. There's no wrong with that. I mean, you're saying it in such a negative connotation. Like, oh, that's just random. You don't have to have, like, are not a good person if you don't have a hobby. So
if you ask me, my favorite thing is to work in cars, but I don't have the time to all the time being in the garage with the car. So sometimes I'm like, okay, maybe I should pick something else to do. Let's go to Walmart. I love walking around Walmart. It's like
I like walking around Target, right, hon? Just kidding.
Yep. Or Costco. Walking around Costco and just trying everything they have to offer.
You know, I don't like walking around Costco. I walk around Costco and Costco walks around with me, and then I have Costco in my car, and then I have a Costco bill, and you're like, I don't want Costco bills. Yeah, that's so one thing coming back to the States is tough. I don't know. There's something in the air about being proud, too. So what's your go-to shows right now? I think you brought it up a little, kind of slightly, maybe. Is there a show that you're like, wow, this is what I'm watching? It doesn't have to be something crazy. You could be watching Squid Games. What are the shows you're out there watching right now or podcasts?
Right now, I am watching Lucifer.
You watching that? Is that over?
Yes, it is.
It's pretty good, though.
This is my second time watching it. It's a show. But if you ask me what show I can watch over and over again, it will be Star Wars.
Star Wars?
Yeah, I've seen pretty much like everything Star Wars. And I've seen all the movies in sequence of events, how they go, maybe like 5 times.
Nerd. Just kidding. I like Star Wars too. I think it's our older generation. I would have never pegged you. Like, I would say, again, I wish I had a camera because you just said, yeah, I've been in for 17 years. Yeah, I'm older. I'm like, oh, you like all the older things like that, a habitual hobbyist. And then Star Wars. I could watch Star Wars. Star Wars is on TNT or something like that. It's on the TV. My mouth opens up and I just sit in there and stare at it for a little bit. Yeah, that's a thing. What about you? Any shows you're watching out there?
I'm not currently watching it because it ended, but I think Mayor of Kingstown.
Mayor of Kingstown. That is a really good show.
So good.
Yes.
So good. I was literally excited, like, the next episode. I'm like, I need to go to bed. Yeah. I need to go to bed. But I think that's one of the last ones I watched that I really, really liked. I do like watching movies, mostly like Tarantino movies.
Okay.
Kill Bill. I can just watch that over and over. And podcasts, I'm listening to Hide and Seek. It's this guy, he looks for missing persons and he interviews like a lot of people and it gets really dramatic, but I love it. I love listening to that podcast. And the last book, I just finished Dark Matter. I know they have a TV show, which I had not watched, but the book was amazing.
Yes, I've read it.
Yes?
Oh, yes.
I texted my brother. I'm like, you need to stop what you're doing. You need to read this book.
And I think Dark Matter, the book, I don't know if it's called the same thing, but it's on Apple.
Right. So he told me to have a show. And I'm like, no, yes. Stop watching it. Like the book. Read the book.
Yes.
I'm one of those people. Read the book.
But, great book.
Mm-hmm, it was amazing.
Yeah. Hey, the series, though, is really good.
Really?
They did a pretty good job.
Okay. I haven't started it because I'm nervous. Like, it's going to ruin the book.
No endorsement for that one.
Yeah, no, this is my personal opinion. But yeah, that's the last book I read that I was like, wow, what happened here?
What about you? You had all this time to think about it. So you better have the best. Yeah.
No, so right now we're watching Severance on Apple TV.
That is Colonel Cooper's go-to show right now. He's like, how have you not watched Severance?
It's crazy. It's a lot of plot twists and a lot of like what's going on. You know, it's trying to figure out what's really happening. Yeah, it's basically, I know you've heard of it then. You know.
I've heard of it, but I feel like every time he starts talking about it, I was like, I don't hear it. Okay. I'm going to eventually watch it.
Okay.
I'll watch it on one of the TDYs where I'm stuck in an airport, snowed in or something.
Yeah, it's really good. It's one of those shows, like, I think the first season was completely out, so I definitely binge watched it. And right now, season two's drop in every Friday, I believe, Apple TV at 9 p.m. So make sure you guys are watching it.
Dang. That wasn't like no endorsement, but he did the whole endorsement thing for it.
Yeah, it's a great show. I definitely like it. I'm hooked on it.
And you said working out too. I tell you, like, you said, I'm getting older working out. I don't know. I sneezed this morning and I hurt my knee. I don't know what it was. Sneezing.
I get out of the car wrong and I'm like, well, that's going to be a whole 2 weeks of no leg days. I don't know what is going on. I'm trying here, and my body has different plans, but no, I do like it. It's a good hurt, so I call it a good pain.
It is, it is. So I don't know if something's in the air, and we'll wrap the show up with this. So we've been talking for about a little bit over 45 minutes now, and you said something about like making. Pretty much two out of three of you said this: making people proud. I don't know what it was, but this morning I was talking to brand new graduated basic military training airmen that are going to their tech school. Now, for me, that was 27 and a half years ago. For you, 17 years ago. You know, some of us are, you know, you guys all been in for a little bit. And sometimes it's hard for us to reach back and think about that. But one thing that is transferred each and every PCS all those times is the ability or the wanting. I'm going somewhere with this, is the wanting to make others proud. I've always wanted that. And I think you said, you know, your kids, you brought your dad, you brought your family into there. Who's out there proud of you? Who are you out there making proud?
Definitely my mom and my siblings for sure. Mm-hmm. Every time I send a picture in the group chat of, you know, the last graduation we had, and we're all in our blues and our students are in their blues, and definitely, yeah, it feels great when they're able to call back and say, hey, like, that's amazing, that's great. No, for sure.
So your mom and your siblings.
Yeah, I feel like those are my greatest motivators.
You got younger siblings, older siblings?
Both. I got an older sister. She's about 2 years older than me. Mm-hmm. And then I have a younger brother and a younger sister as well. And they definitely great motivators as well. Yeah.
Awesome. How about you?
Definitely my son, my husband. That's my little fan club. Everything I do, it's like, look at you go. So that's pretty cool to have. And then my brothers as well. My mom, my dad, he passed away, but it's, I think that's the most people say, like, he's looking down on you, whatever people may believe, like just that feeling like he would be smiling from ear to ear. So I think that's one of the biggest motivators. But yeah, my husband and my son, they're my biggest fans. My brothers, they're younger than me. So they're like, oh, she's the one that joined the military. Like, watch out for her. They're like, we're not doing all that. And then my family in Colombia, they're still like, how's the army? I'm like, I'm not in the army.
Oh, my goodness. It's been so long. I get that.
Especially when I work logistics, they're like, what is it that you do? I'm like, I just send photos. And they're like, great, we're so proud. When are you going to fly a plane? I'm like, it's never going to end. Yeah.
I'm just not going to. What do you fly? Yeah.
What do you fly? I'm like, have you been in a car with me? I could barely drive safely. But now they know I'm here and they're like, this is amazing. So yeah, definitely huge family rooting for me. Just it's pretty awesome. And then former troops, they're always hitting me up like, I see you, you know, so that part that warms my heart.
Awesome.
Troops, it's still keep up with me.
That never gets old. You know, it's just like that they're like, oh, yeah. And I was like, you know, you had a real big impact on you. There's a lot of times we think about it in rank. You're like, well, because you have rank or like you're this and you're that. And you're like, nah, like the most influential person, I talk about him all the time in my career, just set me off as a senior airman. Mm-hmm. Senior Airman Scott Waller, who ended up being Master Sergeant Scott Waller, one of my dear friends now, was a supervisor, and you're like, I wanted to make that dude proud too. I was like, hey, and I, you know, every, you know, when I made master, when I made senior, when I put on a dime, all the things that throughout my career, you know, like, man. And then your troops too, you're like, and it's always awesome. I love saluting my troops. Mm-hmm. I love when they, you know, they cross over or they, you know, they're doing a job, you know, they outrank me or something like that. It's always good to see. So who's out there making you proud, teammate?
Definitely my mom. My brother, he calls me every day, maybe like 2-3 times a day, to tell me everything was happening within the last 5 minutes and to let me know, oh man, I'm so proud of you, man, because you always there for me, and like you always answer the phone call. And it's funny because I told him, I mean, if you call people like five times a day, like not all the five times they are going to be able to answer the phone call. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I'm like, I appreciate you that you like me that much and that you're so proud of me, but you don't need to call me five times a day.
I don't know. Be careful with that. You know, you miss that someday. That's for sure.
It is true. It is true. But that's why I always answer the phone call. And I like to hear him like say stuff like that. But like you said, I have a troop. He was my troop when he first joined the military. And now he's a senior. And he still called me Sergeant Q. And he still told me, no, you always gonna be my mentor. You always gonna be my mentor. And you know, those little things, right?
Yeah.
It's like the stuff that it's like, you know, you got people out there that they're actually like looking at you and watching over you, even if you haven't talked to them in a while, right? But it's a good feeling to have those people being proud of you.
Awesome. Well, so with that, we'll sign off to another Warhawk podcast. Thank you guys for being on. I appreciate it. I hope you got something out of it. And I hope that the folks who are listening, again, why do I do this podcast? For a lot of different reasons. But I hope that somebody can listen to it and get something out of it. But more so, I hope that somebody in your family, your friends, your troops, maybe an old supervisor, an old commander that you had, somebody is listening out there and you're like, I had a part in that. I had a part in that. I had a part in that tapestry or that story that's interwoven, and I'm a part of that. Because that's what our Air Force is. That's what our nation is. It's just these interwoven stories that make us us. So with that, thank you. And this wraps up this podcast. Teammates, thank you for tuning in. For any topics, questions, or guest requests, please shoot me an email or leave a comment below. Thanks for tuning in. As a reminder to all listeners, all topics discussed are unclassified, and the views expressed by our guests and hosts are not necessarily the position of the United States Air Force, the Department of Defense, or any government agency.